Do you notice on here one of the names of God? Kiana? Kiana? Jealous. It's not really said that it's Kana, but it's got a Q.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that and I thought, yay, because I told you I heard someone talk about the thousands of books that they found in the under the Vatican that belong in the Bible, that one of them was the book of Q, that bishop. Yeah, I said that. That historian. All right, we're going to continue today. This is 11:15:20 on learning to flow in the Spirit. And the title of this are the names of God. We're still looking at the trek out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world system, and the god of this world system is Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4, I quote that a lot, but I am going to read it today. I'm going to turn there and read it. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In the world system, we became slaves to that system. We were born into it. A great awakening of the slave master is happening right now all over the world, but many are still blinded. Operation Mockingbird, the fake news, started here in the 50s. But it really started in Genesis 3, when Satan brought a different narrative, an Antichrist narrative, to Adam, caused the fall. The trek out of Egypt is a process that the scripture refers to as renewing the mind. Your mind has been blinded from the truth. So when you come into the world system, all you see is the world system. From the time you go to school, I mean, before you even leave the hospital, you've already been inoculated with their poisonous vaccines. You have already got your stock certificate as a baby sheep or whatever. And then, before you know it, before you're barely through toddling and learning to talk, they've got you in kindergarten in the propagandized Antichrist system. And they raise you up for the next 12 years and then send you to an ungodly college. And then you learn to cement it in. You got a career of living for the devil, doing his bidding. They have you on doctor schedules, controlling your life, what you eat, telling you what you can do, what you cannot do. You can fish here, you can't fish there. You can't drive over this speed limit. Everything is rules, regulations, and laws to try to conform you and make you do what they want you to do, fee you to death, tax you to death. This whole system, you're born into it. You have no choice unless you become born again and you begin to renew your mind and you begin to take charge of this system and you begin to say, okay, rules, regulations, and laws change to my advantage in the name of Jesus. We've never been victims if we're a Christian. We just think we are. Either from wrong indoctrination in the church, or you just don't know. Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that we are to renew our minds with the Word of God. And for the sake of those who will be listening on tape, we will read that. Romans 12. You know, so many people hear the word repent and they look at it negatively. They feel like this is something where somebody shames you, calls your sin out. But really the word repent means to change your mind for the better. And that's what John said before Jesus. Renew your mind. Repent. Change your mind. Change your mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It was a change your mind to receive this good news, receive this good kingdom. It's going to set you free. It's going to give you ability to have the best life you could ever have. You know, if we could tell people that and get people to really realize that, because most of them have been thought to me, repent, you sorry sinner, that type of, old-timey, that good old religion, you know, old-time religion, make you feel like, You know, is there a reason that people stay away from churches in droves? It's because of the perception. If you go somewhere and you're not going to get good news, you're going to enjoy yourself, you're going to get built up and pumped up, then you just run to that place. But if you think they're going to get the whip out and like running me out of the temple with the Jesus scourging the money changers, if that's the way they are going to be treated, then they'll stay away. It's like if the hog comes to the hog trough and you beat him in the head every time he comes to eat, he will not come eat anymore. All right, renewing the mind. This is a process, and God is merciful in it, even though it may seem hard at present. It is a merciful thing. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So he's saying here, for whatever God has called you to do, the measure of faith will be supplied for you to do it. So don't think it's you. Don't think that more highly of yourself than you ought, even though you may be in a highly position, because God has graced you to do it, so you couldn't do it without him. Then it goes on to talk about the grace gifts, but we won't get into that today. Regardless of what anyone says, there are two masters, God and Satan. That's it. I don't care how many avenues Satan has or even Christianity has. There's only Jesus or there's the devil. You choose. And a lot of people never come out of it because they're, like I said, they're born into the system under that master. And until they come of age and they begin to realize that they need to be born again, it says the Holy Spirit draws. It's not a deal where you just have to, every service, have to have an invitation. No, I believe you have to be led to do that. And I'm not saying it's wrong if people do that. But the problem in that is a person is drawn by the Holy Spirit. They can't just decide, well, I want the Holy Spirit now. It says that he draws them to himself. So there's a time for their rebirth, just like there's a time for your natural birth. Okay, Lord, wherever that, whatever. Okay, Matthew 6, let's read this passage. I think that's the problem nowadays, that these mass gatherings, they just pray corporate prayers. Because I know when I got born again, there was a change. I didn't want to sin. And it seems like among those that are Christians, it seems like they don't have that unction. There's a change from the old nature to the new nature. The new nature is sinless. The new nature is, it strives to not sin. The old nature will keep doing it. Okay, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So you know, the other system, it's always about, you better think about your future. You better set you up a 401k. You better make sure you got all your money now in gold and silver, because you know what's going to happen. Oh, you better go buy a Patriot Supply and get you a four-week supply. You know, it'll last 25 years. Can you see the care? It's just always about constantly thinking about yourself, thinking about yourself, thinking about, what am I going to do? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? But God doesn't want you thinking about any of that. Ever. And if he wants you to do something, and it's been my experience, and I don't like to hound him about stuff. Sometimes you get under pressure about it. You know, I need an answer. But he'll just tell me out of the blue to do something. Okay. You're dead, right? Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So when he wants you to do something, I mean, it's not wrong to ask. James says, if anyone asks wisdom, let him ask, or if he needs wisdom, ask of God, and he'll give to all men liberty and upbraideth not. Sure like that tie. Anyway.
It is nice.
Yeah, I like it.
What'd you say?
Like your tie. It's a little strange this morning, but that's all right. I don't even know what I was said last. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't want us taking thought about our lives, taking thought about anything. He wants us to take care, or not him, let him take care of us. Some of these names here, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my shepherd. Rapha is my healer. Ra'ah, shepherd. Qana, he is the jealous God. Adonai, Lord and Master. Elohim, the everlasting God, the God of beauty, the God of the universe, the God of ancient days. Yahweh, Lord Jehovah. Elohim, God, Judge, Creator. El Elyoni, the Most High God. Jehovah Sikadu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Wherever there is, he's there. Jehovah Makadashakim, I guess. The Lord who sanctifies you. The Lord who makes holy. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. The Lord my miracle. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of powers. Or Sabaoth. In whatever situation in life you find yourself, he's there. He's there. Okay. Under these two masters, there's two agendas. Satan's MO is fear and enslaves his victim in that fear. God's MO is love and frees his children from all bondages. Satan riddles his victims with care. The Care Bear snare, you remember that? God riddles his children with freedom. We barely begin to tap into or even touch the hem of the garment of how free we really are and how ensnared we have been in the system. We have freedom to walk in the Spirit and have a wonderful life. Now, for a few weeks now, we've been reading in Galatians chapter 5 about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. How in God we walk in these areas. We're going to read it just so we'll keep getting our minds renewed about this. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. See, it's like Satan, God. Lust is against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So to stay in this place where this is going on all the time, then there's probably not going to be a lot of progress until you break through that, get through that thing. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, and drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So it looks like the everything I describe here we're seeing happen on the left side of things in this country and the world. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. If I heard anything yesterday, and I listened to Right Side Broadcasting broadcast most of the D.C. rallies, and they'd get up and talk about, this is a movement of love. We don't want anybody inciting anything that might start any violence, because there's groups around here that want to do that. They want to start fights. They want to say things to get you riled up and get you acting out in your flesh. So don't give in to them. Because when one person does it, it ruins the whole movement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, when Jesus spoke, what he spoke was in line with this, and there was nothing they could say. He confounded his enemies with what he said. I mean, they just have to leave and go regroup and try to figure out how they could trick him again. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So, walking in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. As we observe the children of Israel on their trek out of Egypt, you will be able to identify with your own struggles. I want to focus today on the names of God and how He showed up for the children of Israel. See as I read the scriptures of their journeys of how you can identify His names. And I just read all of those to you. We're not going to look at everything, just a few things this morning. Okay, Exodus chapter 17 will be the first passage. This is to encourage you today. Excuse me. And all the congregation of the children of Israel, verse 1, journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched the Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? The people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is that that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Right here, these two words. I see two here, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, protector, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. I'm thinking that this is what I had heard, that this stone he was sitting on was the one Jacob slept on that became the coronation stone of the tribes of Judah, the lineage of, you know, Judah, to be coronated. They were fighting over and stealing this stone to try to get it. He anointed that and called it Bethel. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. He sat down on that stone. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for it will utterly put out of the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord had sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Is Nissi on this one? I don't know if I read that.
Yes, it is.
It is. I'm not seeing it. Okay. The Lord my banner, the Lord my miracle. We see God showed up in the battle. He wants to fight our battles and provide for our needs. According to where we are in our mind renewal, it will determine if you turn to Satan and embrace the Care Bear snare or turn to the Lord, Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Jireh are able to step in. So you can't serve two. You know, see, in this trek out, we're kind of still in a mixture stage in different areas, you know. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures in the New Testament right quick. This is James 1. Verse 2, I just quoted it while ago. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I'm going to quote somebody said this one time, and he's sitting in this room. Faith is a stand that outlasts the devil. And I have used that many times whenever I was in a hard place and thought, oh, it was just difficult. I kept thinking in my mind, faith is a stand that outlasts the devil. In fact, your credo should be, I will be the last man standing. The armor of God is a stand. It's not anything you really have to do anything. You stand. You stand right there and you say, I ain't budging. You ain't taking from me. This is mine. And you ain't getting it. Well, if he's been there for a long time, he's a squatter, and you got to kick that varmint out. And he may still try to hang in there. Won't get off your property, but you're saying, I'm standing here, and I ain't leaving till you leave. And I will be the last man standing. I'm taking it back. Okay, well, with that's perfect timing. Ephesians chapter 6. It is a stand. You could say it's a stand and a mindset. It is really just a mindset. You fix your mind on what you're going to do, and you're going to do it. And nothing's going to move you off of it. It's kind of like playing King of the Mountain. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Is he asking you to do it in your own might? No, his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Did he ask you to put on your armor? No, his armor. If nothing, you learn nothing from this today. He is everything that you will need for everything you will ever need it for. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, not your armor, God's armor, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I know what the Word of God says, and the Word of God says I win, and therefore I stand, and I will not be moved, and I will outlast you. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm not rattled. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All right, back to Exodus. Chapter 19. Okay, in the third month, verse 1. When the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came them into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and I brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, there ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So this is how God viewed them. I have bore you, he said, on eagle's wings. The thing about a mother eagle, she will take that eaglet on her wings and she will drop that baby to get it to fly. And if she sees he's not going to flap his wings, she'll swoop under him before he hits the ground. And then here we go again. Can you see the renewing of the mind process and walking it out? Mm-hmm. He's bearing us up on eagle's wings. He will not let us fall to the ground. He didn't let a sparrow fall to the ground. But he will keep doing that process until baby flaps his wings and begins to act like an eaglet should. Why? Because they've got to be strong and grow up and be able to hunt and fend for themselves. This is being strong in the Lord. The baby can fly all along. It's born with wings. But mentally, the baby doesn't know it yet until they're faced with a situation where it's do or die and they flap those wings. We're a lot stronger than we think we are. Why? Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. How do you know if you'll meet the challenge unless there is a challenge? Who wouldn't rather just not ever have to have everything just smooth sailing? We're going to be able to have that during the millennial. And that's coming soon. Okay. He bore them on eagle's wings to not be like Egypt, but to be a holy nation. See, all they knew was Egypt. Well, it's the Babylonian culture, the pyramid that's in our culture, the world's culture. He didn't want them acting like the Egyptians. He wanted them to act like his laws and what he had set down. A holy nation. different, set apart. What I see in this is this. God does not want us in any care at any time over anything. He wants to be shepherd, provider, healer, our righteousness, there for us, the sanctifier, that one that makes us holy, peace, a banner, a miracle worker, a host, and power. That's his names. Or just the ones that have Jehovah in front of them. But there's even more than that that I wrote down. Isn't that what he tried to get these freed slaves to realize? Yeah, Zechariah 4:6 says, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." He really doesn't want your grubby little paws on anything unless he's told you to do something. Now, you know what I'm saying. You got to do things. But he's talking about trying to fix yourself, trying to take it into your hands to make things work when he has already said, "I'm that to you. Quit trying to get in my way and trying to do it in your own self. I'll let you spin and toil and everything else forever. What happened with them? Round and round the mountain they went for 40 years till they all died out because they would never let the Lord be what God wanted to be. Total reliance on Him, this is following the Spirit, and no reliance on the flesh, which is works. See, their answer was, "Let's go back to Egypt and the ways of Egypt." I want to encourage you today to keep renewing your mind and receive His grace instead of trying to just make everything a work. Charles Capps was right when he said, people get into confession, faith and confession, like people pray the rosary. There's no power in praying the rosary. And there's no power in works of the flesh. I don't care how spiritual we coin it, how many books you buy that's got confessions in it. Okay. All right. Let's receive His grace and don't make a work of it. Romans 8. We're going to look at a couple of things that helps us walk in the Spirit. Romans 8, 26. Verse 26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He even does our praying for us. He even does our praying for us. Now think about that. And it's according to God's will. Ain't no works of the flesh in that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Why? Because we're praying in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Yeah, God does give us prayers to pray in the flesh, like the Lord's Prayer. But when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Ghost prays through us the perfect will of God. It's a good way to stay out of the flesh in your prayers. In that fact, I'm very reluctant to even pray for anybody before I've had a chance to pray in the Spirit and get the mind of God on it. Because how can you know? Because people pull on you. Oh, would you pray? I'm so, ugh. I always try to get them back to the Word. When they start that, they want, "Oh, pray. Now my other son has COVID. Pray. Oh, please pray." And I'll say, "Well, here, I'll give you some scriptures to say over you and your family. Put him back in their court. Quit carrying him. You can't carry him. In fact, if they don't, you know, sometimes you just have to cut it off and say, "Sorry, can't do it no more." I know the Lord said to me, if you can get them in faith, you can help them. But if you can't get them in faith, you will not be able to help them. All right, Jude 20. Really 17 through 20. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, don't be like them, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. This will keep you walking in the Spirit. Build up your faith. One of the best ways to be to stay in faith is to be confident in who you are in Christ Jesus. And we're going to look at this. This is a little bit off point, but still on track, if that makes sense. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In light of all the sessions that we've been speaking on about walking in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3:16. How we learn to walk in the Spirit is learning to be Spirit controlled and not being flesh controlled, flesh ruled. Right? Mm-hmm. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Now think about that. God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Rather Paul or Apollos or Cephas of the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. So what am I saying in this? You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are unique and not to be compared to anyone else. Now I want you to hear me today on this. This will help you. You have to say this: I am okay and I'm on my way. Say that. I am okay and I'm on my way. Comparing yourself to someone else is not good. All right, we're looking at another scripture. That's 2 Corinthians 10:12, I think. We're a peculiar people. 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. One thing that the world system or the God of this world system does through Hollywood, commercials, social media is to set a standard of perfection that makes the normal person inferior. So they spend millions of dollars to look like a 100-pound model with perfect hair and perfect makeup. You ever notice all these exercise things that they do, infomercials and stuff, you never see someone that's overweight? They're always these buff, perfect models. It's intimidating. And you try to strive to get there, okay? You feel intimidated, like you are something wrong with you. It makes you feel wrong. This is fake news. In fact, it is the image of the beast. These perfect models and all this stuff that they push on us, it's the image of the beast and its system. See, their goal is that you never feel perfect. You always feel inferior, and so you just spend more money. You run after empty pursuits, spend lots of money on empty things. It's a computer-generated image that isn't even real sometimes, these perfect models. To get you to buy their miracle product. If something says it is a miracle cure or a miracle something, well, it probably isn't. The love of money is a root to all evil. We are all part of the human race, but none of us are the same. We all have different fingerprints. So to keep confidence, to stay in the Spirit, don't let the devil intimidate you that you are wrong. You are right, and concerning your body weight, that is perfect for me, it may not be what is perfect for you. No comparing. This gets our minds on ourselves and out of the Spirit. We are in the flesh. We are not in control when we do that. And that's what this type of propaganda does. It gets you thinking about, oh, I need to do something. I'm in terrible shape. I need to do this. Maybe I better buy that, you know. It gets you totally on yourself. And what does that do? You get in the flesh. Let God show you what is right for you and be happy with it because He made you that way. Humans come in all sizes, weights, hair and eye color, nose shape, etc. You get the picture. Nobody's the same. Even twins are not the same. Now you can be confident and walk in faith. The system has propagized the human race to be insecure so that they can control us. They're constantly stripping money out of your pocket with their ideas to make you better. God didn't do a very good job, did He? No, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay.